You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
To begin with, what is Earth observation data and what are the methods that are used to research this?
Sure. So Earth observation data is really anything that measures anything on the Earth's surface without remote sensing, is what it's often called as well. And that sounds horribly vague and big, but really it's anything from the camera in your pocket to a drone in the sky, an aircraft with a camera on it, through to satellites in space. And we use a lot of parts of the electromagnetic spectrum to do this. So it's things like radar, lasers, cameras, hyperspectral cameras, all kinds of fun things like that. And it's used for all kinds of things. So a lot of the work that we do is particularly focused on the environment, on environmental monitoring, but you can also use it in industry for engineering purposes and also commercial intelligence and that sort of thing.
Why is data from Earth observation important? In what areas will the research be applicable?
So it's really important because it lets you see things more persistently through time and over a greater area. So obviously New Zealand is a relatively sparsely populated country, particularly there's a huge EEZ, an exclusive economic zone around the country, around the oceans. And it's impossible for a human to have eyes on that all the time. And that goes the same for the government. It goes the same for iwi, who may have traditional rights to an area. Anyone really who has any reason to know what is happening in a place can benefit from the use of this data.
What do the organizations Ngā Arawetu and Te Pūnaha Atea do, and how did they support the launching of the Earth Observation Laboratory?
Those are two university, well, one's a research center in the university, and one is a space institute, as an institute. So they are kind of semi-independent divisions within the university. But so Ngā Arawetu in particular, the Center for Climate, Biodiversity and Society, they kind of bring together researchers across the university to tackle those problems. And the Space Institute sits in the Faculty of Engineering, but reaches out, I'm in science, Faculty of Science, to tackle things around space and that kind of thing. They're two subdivisions of the university that specialize in the topics in which they tackle. And I've worked with both of them. And basically what they've done is they both see the value in what we're doing here. So Space Institute in particular, you know, they're the teams which are building these instruments, sending them into space. And I work with those engineers to make sure those instruments are going to do what we need them to do. And on the flip side of the coin, Ngā Arawetu is the people who are using the data. So it's the biologist, anyone really, perhaps, who isn't building the sensor tends to fit into that other category. So it's the kind of the two key elements of Earth observation are represented by those two pillars. And they've basically given me their support in terms of a little bit of cash, but mostly in terms of people helping out, essentially, in that best of New Zealand traditions, leaning in and getting stuff done.
How will the lab seek to build a community that enables citizens, iwi, businesses, researchers and government to gather and use Earth observation data, democratizing observational science?
This is perhaps the hardest thing. You know, we're really good at doing science, we're really good at doing the engineering, but as you know, kind of one of the main reasons why we're putting this lab together is to get it outside of the university and get other people using it. And, you know, all of those groups that you just mentioned have people that are doing it already. Taranaki iwi has a fantastic group of geospatial people doing stuff. You know, you've got TNT, other big consultancies and engineering firms here in New Zealand are using this data. But it's all very disjointed and not necessarily talking to each other, and there's a lot that can be learned. And in particular, we want to build a community around an open source kind of foundational approach. Basically, kind of one of the key things is you don't need to reinvent the wheel every single time a new person wants to do something with it in terms of just even just opening the data. So that's the kind of thing, kind of capacity building, connecting people. And when there's projects that come up or funding becomes available, helping people find each other. And there's a number of ways we're trying to tackle that. You can see some of them on the website. So there's, you know, community sign up, there's a GitHub, there's resources, there's a place to tell stories, that kind of stuff.
Why has data from environmental observations been locked behind technical and access barriers? What do you propose to change that?
Sure, so it's kind of locked away because you need at least a basic level of programming and or familiarity with some of the software that is non-programming to just even begin to open it and use it. And, you know, we teach that here in the School of Environment, and other bits of the university teach bits of it as well, not necessarily in a joined up manner. So, yeah, there's that fundamental level of, okay, you need to actually have a basic skill in something that discipline before you can then enter and start using this data. And particularly environmental folk might have more of a background in field training and field site studies and going out with a clipboard and doing all that kind of good stuff. Whereas this is kind of blending quite often physics and maths and engineering and computer science. And there's sometimes people from different backgrounds don't have that joint skill set. So kind of making that easier is one of the key things.
Will your research be affected by the recently proposed Marsden fund cuts?
So I have to say, we're very lucky that the answer simply is no. This is a field and a discipline that is physical science-based. It also has a significant amount of economic impact. So, for example, predominant users of this right now are government insurance industry, investment funds and that kind of stuff. You know, they're all using this kind of data in huge professional ways. That's what, you know, this new commercial space age is largely based on. So it does align well with government's priorities for that. Having said that, I do, of course, have a great deal of sympathy for those who have been affected by that. It's not something anyone wants to see.
You mentioned investment funds. What kind of investment funds are using Earth observational data?
Sure, yes. Yeah, so literally, so this is back in, you know, I worked in commercial geospatial intelligence when I finished my PhD. And basically any serious investment fund has got a geospatial Earth observation data pipeline going into it. Bloomberg terminals have an entire geospatial team, observation team working for them. Because what you can do is you can do things like monitor the entire wheat crop of North America and get a good idea of what the yield is going to be 4 to 6 months ahead of time. That's pretty powerful information if you're moving large quantities of money around based on the price of a commodity or something like that. That's just one example. You can also monitor oil terminals. Oil terminals have lids that float up and down. Get the geometry right, measure the shadows, and you can figure out how much oil is being held in a terminal somewhere, which, again, pretty useful if you're an oil company or you're trading oil futures. Kind of exactly the thing I want to do here is, like, there's so much power and information locked up in this observational technology, but it's only companies and organizations which are quantitative by nature. Like, they don't have those technical barriers because they're filled with people who are trained in physics and maths and quant and that kind of stuff. So for them, it's a really easy step to get that data in. Not easy, but, you know, relatively easy. And that's one of the barriers we want to break down here. I really encourage, you know, any students in particular who might be listening, like, if you're interested in this, go to that community tab and sign up, eolabaotearoa.co.nz. I don't just want people like me. This is about anybody at any stage of their career joining the community and using it for their communities and where they come from.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.